Thanks for checking out the Lakeshore Podcast. If this is your first time listening with us, we want you to know God loves you. We want for your hope in Jesus to be renewed and for your faith to come to life. Wherever you are joining us from, we hope this message encourages you.
Don't you guys have a great Catawba team? Come on, give it up for your Catawba team. Pastor Scott and the team, we're so grateful that God is still working through here. If we've never had the opportunity to meet you, my name's Robert. This is my better half, Yolanda. God's still working on me. All of the good things that are happening in me, it's because of her praying for me. So wives, keep praying for your husbands. They are not a lost cause. Believe me when I say that. Hey, listen, let's do this. Before we get into today's message, let's go ahead and get up real quick. Come on, we're going to stretch out a little bit. Go to somebody you haven't even said hello to yet this morning. Go and say, it's great to see you in the church. Great to see you in the house of God. So glad that you're here. You didn't go away for Memorial Weekend. Amen. So good. Good to see you. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. Amen, amen, amen. Does Pastor Scott usually speak from up there or down here? Cool. Awesome. All right, grab a seat. Awesome. Hey, did you bring a Bible with you? Or you get a sermon guide on the way in. I brought some sermon guides. I like to give out sermon guides on our Gastonia campus. They're not revolutionary. I don't think you're going to see anything in there you've never seen or heard before. But it's got the scriptures on there and a couple of fill-in-the-blanks. And you can take this home and you can dig a little deeper on your own, pull out a concordance, pull out some word studies or whatever. So I got you a sermon guide. Let's check the Bible attendance in the house. If you don't use this kind of Bible in it, at least you got it on your phone, we'll let you slide. That's okay. Come on, let's hold up our Bibles. Come on. Let's check the Bible attendance or the sermon guide. If you got a sermon guide, it's got the scripture. Hey, listen, if you don't have a sermon guide and you want one to fill in some blanks, lift your hand and Jim will get you one. All right? Come on, let's check the Bible attendance. Let's hold them up. Let's hold them up. We're going to say this. We say this every Sunday on our Gastonia campus. Ready? We're going to say it together. Ready? One, two, three. This is my Bible. It is God's word written to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I receive it as truth for my life today and open my heart to hear God speak a word, reveal Jesus to me, fill me with the Holy Spirit, then send me out to share Christ with others so that my life will be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Catawba. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hold your spot there. Let me just make a statement. First fill in the blank if you have a sermon guide. I think it's the first fill in the blank. We first make our habits, then our habits make us. Come on, would you say it with me? Come on, say it with me. We first make our habits, then our habits make us. We're in a series that we kicked off last Sunday. We'll call it Blackout Sunday at Catawba. I heard all about it. And we're calling it Habits of the Household. Habits of the Household. I've given it a subtitle. I felt like the Lord said, it's okay, you can use this subtitle. Establishing Patterns of Worship in My Home. Come on, would you say that part with me? Establishing patterns of worship in my home. How many of you ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's speaking to his disciples and a bunch of potential disciples. By the way, let me just interject this. A disciple is a person who is following Jesus, is being changed by Jesus and is on mission with Jesus. That's important. We're not just believers. We're not just on the way to heaven, but we are, amen? We're on the way to heaven, but we're learning to live as disciples. We're learning to follow him, to be changed by him, and to be on mission with him, winning the lost and making other disciples. How many believe that was the mission of Jesus? So he's speaking to a bunch of disciples, potential disciples. He's getting towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he gets to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Let me just read it in our hearing just so that we're all together on the same page. I'm reading out of the New King James Version, and he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But on the contrary, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Someone say, in heaven. "Where thieves or moths and rust do not break in and steal, or the stuff doesn't go bad." Not in heaven. Then he goes on and he says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Read 21 with me. Come on, would you? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Notice your treasure isn't in one place and your heart in another. Whatever you're passionate about, whatever you're considering to be valuable, whatever you're working for, whatever you're giving your time and your attention and your talent and your energy and your family to, whatever that's valuable to you, that's where your heart is. That's where you're going to be. Your mind, your emotions, your thinking, your passions, they're together. They're not separate. Now, I want to break this down, make it really super simple for everyone to get. A habit is a usual or frequent manner of behavior, a tendency, a pattern that someone or a family has settled into. Is that a good definition? Can we use that as a working definition of a habit? I know you know that, but just to make it super clear, so I'm clear. The title of today's message is this: Why Habits Matter. Why habits matter. Your habits and patterns not only shape your lives, but also the culture of your households. And to a large degree, your households shape your children. Come on, parents, that's a place for an amen right there. They shape your children and your grandchildren. Now, if you don't have any kids in your household or you're empty nesters, listen, do not tune me out. Because your habits and your patterns shape your household. They shape your life, whether you have any kids there or not. There's something in the business world called organizational culture. And organizational culture is made up of patterns or shared basic assumptions and behaviors or habits. They're learned and they're lived out by individuals in an organization, and then they're lived out by the groups of individuals within an organization. Now, in a business, this is very important. Because if a business has a mission, and their mission is to make the best fishing poles in the world. I'm going to go with that one. I'm a fisherman. If their mission is to make the best fishing poles in the world, but their habits and their patterns and their culture does not align with their mission statement, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they have written on the wall. Culture and habits wins. Amen? This is really important. Has anybody ever been to Chick-fil-A? Come on, anybody ever been to Chick-fil-A? Come on, anybody ever not been to Chick-fil-A? There were a few in our Gastonia campus. If it wasn't a Sunday, I would have made them take me to Chick-fil-A that day. But when you go to Chick-fil-A, you experience the culture of Chick-fil-A. Come on, shout it out. This is a safe place. What are some of the habits that you encounter when you go to Chick-fil-A? Come on, anybody want to share one? Efficiency. Chick-fil-A is efficient. Dave? Courteous. They're very courteous. That's part of their culture. What else? Quality, right? Amen. Quality. Anybody else? What was that? Consistency, right? You're not going to have a bad chicken sandwich there. Consistent. What else? Smiles, right? It's my pleasure. Come on, parents. How many of you wish your kids said that every time? It's my pleasure, mommy. I'd be glad to. Thank you. Is that right? Come on, give it up right there. Woo! They're polite. My pleasure. Thank you. You're welcome. Is there anything else we can do for you? Come on, let me ask you, Isaac. Does all of that happen by accident? No, you got training. You got habits. You got patterns. Pastor Robert, I thought this is church. You're talking about Chick-fil-A. You're making me hungry. It's kind of like that when it comes to our households. See, whether we realize it or not, the habits and the patterns and the behavior, parents, that you're engaging in, that you're leading your family in, it creates a culture in your home, in your family, right? Don't you want to go somewhere with your kids and they're so good, they're so godly, and somebody says, whose kids are those? And those kids stand out. They're always saying things like, thank you, my pleasure. Is there anything else we can do for you? See, that stuff doesn't happen by accident, though. That's intentional. Let me make this statement. This is the big statement. God desires every person in every household to be saved and fully devoted to Him, living godly lives and raising godly children, creating a godly culture. Come on, anybody agree with that? I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it's automatic. I'm just saying that's what God desires. Look at Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I want to read this and point a couple of things out. We're talking about why habits matter. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Giants eat peas and carrots. That's how I remember that. Okay, look at Colossians. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Now let me pause and let me interject a couple things in case we didn't catch it. I didn't catch it for a long time. He's speaking to Christians. That's us. If you're a Christian, he's speaking to you. If then you've been raised with Christ, when were you raised with Christ? When Christ was resurrected from the grave by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He stood up in a glorified body as the second man, a new creation, the start of a whole new creation, you and I, before you even received Jesus, you were raised to life with Him, and then when you accepted Him, it came into fruition. You were raised with Christ. You're a new creation, a new breed, a new form of species, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And because we've been raised with Christ, notice what he says, seek. Seek those things which are above, those things that the Father cherishes, those things that are important to the Father, those things that the Father wants for you, that the Father has for your household, the things that are important to kingdom thinking. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, ruling and reigning as our King. He's seating at the right hand of the Father in all authority and power and dominion. Verse 2, set, seek, now set your mind on things above. Don't just seek them, but now intentionally set your, has your mind ever wandered? Is it wandering right now? Come on, set it. You know what I mean? You gotta bring it back into alignment. You gotta bring it back into order. Set your mind on things above, not on things, come on, say it with me, on the earth. Sounds a lot like what Jesus was saying. Don't live for a temporary earthly existence, storing up material wealth. Don't live just for the here and now. It's bigger than that. You're in the kingdom of God. You live on the earth, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Begin to live with eternity in mind, in everything, in your family, in your home, in your finances, in your time, in your gifting. Not just here. We're just passing through. Now, he's not saying you got to just shut up and become a monk and you're not worried about or caring for any. No, he's not. Don't go too far, but don't be preoccupied with just a temporal earthly existence. Verse 3, for you died. When did we die? When Christ was on the cross, you died with him. The old man, the old sinful nature, the old earthly preoccupied sinful nature died with him. And now you live for him. Amen? We're learning to do that. This word seek, when he says seek, the Greek word zeteo, Z-E-T-E-O, zeteo, it means to desire, and it means to seek in order to find, to seek in order to attain, to seek in order to lay hold of something. Now, what's interesting about this word seek, it's written in the present tense, the active voice, and the imperative mood. What does that mean? It means the present tense is for today. It's ongoing. This is not a one-time seek. This is a seeking. Amen? And then it's written in the active voice. What does that mean? That means this isn't something God does for you. The subject is the doer of the action. That's you and I, the church. We're supposed to be seeking. And then it's written in the imperative mood. If you've sat under Pastor Gill teaching long enough, you know that's not an option, that's a command. So your commander in chief, the Lord Jesus, he would say to you today, seek. Seek those things that are above. Set your mind on things that are above. Not a one-time seeking, but a continual seeking. Amen? This is so important for you parents when you're thinking about your children and your household. God wants every one of your kids saved. He wants every one of them serving the Lord. He wants every household to be a godly household. How do you know that's true? Well, a couple of scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:4 says this, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Come on, somebody say it. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many men? All men. He wants everyone to be saved, but everyone has free will. But this is still his desire. How about Ephesians 6:4? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, on the contrary, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. This by no means excludes mothers, but Paul's being very emphatic because the father is to be the spiritual leader of the household. The father is supposed to set the tone for the household. Amen? Don't hear that with any condemnation, men. This is a journey that we're on. But this is your place. Come on, do I got any men of God in the house? That was a weak amen. Do I got any men of God in the house? Come on. I know I do. This is your role. In his book, Habits of the Household, Practicing the Story of God in Everyday Family Rhythms, the author, Justin Early, says, ordinary daily habits are like liturgies. They are little routines of worship, and worship changes what we love. Worship changes what we love. The author contends that God works through habits to change parents, to change children and families in conformity with Christ's love. That's the premise of the book. So, with that as a little bit of a foundation, here's number one on your sermon guide if you're taking notes. Habits matter because some habits can become patterns of worship. Some habits can become patterns of worship. If you look up the word worship in Webster's dictionary, it's defined this way: to honor or show great extravagant reverence to a divine or a supernatural being. And it doesn't pinpoint it to Jesus or to our God, but that's just a general definition of the word worship. I want you to think about that, because Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, remember, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What matters most to you? What floats your boat? What are you passionate about? Let me say it this way. What's there in your heart that's competing for God and His kingdom? Now, we have to be so careful that we don't allow our hearts to wander and worship anything other than God. Now, unfortunately, some people, nobody in here, some people slip into bad habits or patterns, and they can worship sports. They can worship hobbies. Some people have been known to worship work. Others worship money. Some worship pleasure. Some even worship themselves. And we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, we don't realize it, that our patterns, they can be a kind of a worship that's not in alignment with worshiping God. Let me remind you, in Exodus 20, verse 3, God said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Come on, anybody remember that one? Now, when you think about a definition of worship, biblically speaking, I came across one that I'd never seen before. I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and I'm in a new place. I'm in a new season. I've never been where I'm at right now. I'm feeling the best that I've ever felt, spiritually, emotionally, physically, psychologically. The Lord is transforming me. And I want to encourage you in that, because don't ever get to the place where you think you've arrived. I was plateaued, and I didn't even realize it. I didn't even know. And that's possible, to get plateaued, stuck in your walk with the Lord, and not even realize it. And God has been opening my eyes and showing me new things. And I came across this definition: worship is the genuine expression of inner love and devotion to God. That's what worship is. And it takes place in all kinds of different forms. Worship isn't limited to just singing songs on Sunday, right, Dale? Worship is, moms, if you've got an infant and you're changing your baby's diaper and you're doing it unto the Lord, that's worship. Men, when you're out there laying it down for your families, and you're working your 9-to-5, and you may not even necessarily like it, but you're doing it because you want to support your wife and your kids, and you're doing it unto the Lord, that's worship. Anything that you're doing because it's a love for God and you're expressing that through your life, that's worship. And God wants us to worship Him in everything that we do. Parents with kids in the house especially, it's so important to think about this when it comes to all the various extracurricular activities that you're engaged in, or that you could be engaged in, or that the culture is challenging you to be engaged in. You have to work to keep them surrendered to the worship of God. It's a challenge today. Soccer's on Sunday, baseball's on Sunday, swimming's on Sunday, all kinds of. There was a time when the only thing was on Sunday was church and the Sabbath. There was a time when it was the Lord's Day. And now today, if we're not careful, if I could fit it in, I'll take my family to worship God with the family of God. And I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you. I'm just saying we have to be careful. There's so many things vying for your kids' time and your family's time that if you're not careful, it can get out of alignment with our worship for God. Remember, God desires every person in every household to be saved and fully devoted to Him, living godly lives and raising godly children in a godly culture. Come on, somebody say amen. That's the first reason why habits matter. The second reason is this, number two. Our patterns of worship direct and shape our lives. Come on, would you read it with me? Come on, read it with me. Our patterns of worship direct and shape our lives. Listen to what Jesus said again. We're still on the text, Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The innermost part of who you are, your emotions, your thinking, the core of who you are, whatever your pattern of worship is, that is where your heart is, and that is what's going to direct and begin to shape our lives. Galatians 6:7, you've heard it. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Come on. You will always harvest what you plant. Parents, this is so important. You are never wasting your breath. You are never wasting your time. You are never wasting your energy when you're working to bring your children up in the things of the Lord. Because you're going to harvest that one day. You're going to harvest godly children. You're going to have harvest of kids that want to serve the Lord. Amen? And that's going to bring pleasure to the Father. Think about how different some of our lives would be based on choosing either of these habitual patterns. Okay, I'm going to lay some out, compare and contrast. You wake up early to pray versus you sleep in and you hit the snooze button over and over and over. You read the Bible with your kids and connect with God versus scrolling Facebook or Instagram for 30 minutes. You invest 30 minutes in some exercise to care for your physical body versus not doing any exercise at all. You listen to worship music on the road with your kids versus listening to worldly, ungodly music with ungodly lyrics. Come on, is there any of that on the radio? You're going to sports activities on Sundays, two or three Sundays per month, versus leading your children to church services to gather with the family of God regularly. Now, I don't want you to hear any of those with condemnation. We're all under construction, amen? God's working on all of us. But think about how different these two lives would be in a year from now based on what they select. Or how different they'll be in 5 years from now, 10 years, a lifetime. A lifetime from now. How would your life be different if you engaged in some healthy habits instead of unhealthy habits? Amen? Does that make a difference? If you have kids in your home, the habits that are shaping your life as adults, as parents, are shaping the lives of your kids and determining the culture of your household and your family. So, Pastor Robert, how do I change or establish healthy, godly habits. Come on, anybody want to know how to do that? By the way, we're just scratching the surface here. I would encourage you, I will encourage you before we leave. Let me just leave it for that. Point number three on your sermon guide, if you have it. How can I change and establish healthy, godly habits? Fill in the blank. Put God first and make truth my standard. I changed it. Personalize it. Not your standard, my standard. Write it in, my standard. I want to learn to put God first and make truth my standard. Matthew 6:20. Again, Jesus says this, but lay up for yourselves treasures, where? Come on, finish it with me. In heaven. Not on earth, in heaven. Live in such a way where you recognize that this is temporary and everything we do for the Lord, there are treasures being laid up for us in heaven. Amen. God is watching everything we do, and everything we do for Him is bringing some rewards that are going to be available to us in heaven. That's the word. That's what Jesus is saying. So we got to begin to move forward with that kind of mentality. I got to make a decision. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Anybody know it? But seek when? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His way of living, His way of doing things. And what's the promise? All these things shall be added unto you. So I need to make a decision to put God first. And then from there, I need to make a decision to make truth my standard. How many believe that that is God's standard? Truth is God's standard. Let's look at 3 John 2. And I'll have Andrew come up now. 3 John 2. Not the Gospel of John. The letters of John towards the end of your Bible if you have a Bible. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John 2 through 4. Some of the most powerful and precious scriptures that I read. We're talking about how do I develop healthy habits and what does that mean? I got to put God first and I need to establish God's truth as my truth. Listen to what he says, the writer of the Gospel of John, and he's writing a letter here. He says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and, someone say and, be in health just as your soul prospers. Say it again. Your soul prospers. Now, let me just pause because this is worth unpacking just for a minute. The man of God is writing to another believer. We're believers. Amen. He's saying, beloved, hear the tenderness. Beloved, my prayer is that you prosper in all things. Now, that word prosper doesn't mean to have a lot of money. It means to have success in your journey of life. It means to do well on the road of life. My prayer is that you prosper in all things. Your family, your career, whatever's put on your heart by the Father to engage in, he wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well in all things. And be in health. Now, a lot of times that word health is used for sound doctrine, for spiritual truth, for being healthy in the spirit. In this particular verse, a lot of commentaries point to the fact that the person he was writing to might have been experiencing some physical sickness. And so it's definitely applicable to being healthy physically. That's a desire that God has for us, that you would prosper and be in health. Notice this, though. This is connecting. It's so important. Just as your soul prospers. What's your soul? your mind, your will, and your emotions. My mind is submitted to the things of God. My will is submitted to the heart of the Father. My emotions are submitted to the Holy Spirit. Just as my mind prospers in those areas, so will I prosper in all of the other areas. That's God's heart for you. That's God's heart for me. And then he goes on and he says this, "For I rejoiced greatly when other brothers and sisters in the Lord came to me and they testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Look at that, verse 4. Parents, read verse 4 with me. Come on, prophetically. You're declaring that over your family, over your kids, over your household. Come on, say it. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Parents, don't you want that for your kids? Even if they're adults and they're out of the house, you can still pray for them. You can still proclaim God's truth over them. You can still proclaim God's will and God's word and God's way and God's desire over your adult kids. Notice, I think just these two verses, he uses the word truth 3 times. Now, this is important. This is objective truth. Let me clarify. This is truth based on the reality of God's truth. This is not relative truth. This is not truth that is subjective, meaning I get to define what truth is. What's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. That's the culture that we live in. So if you identify as a cat, come on, that's happening in kids. And that was just a gentle reminder. But parents, if you're not instilling the truth as your standard, your kids have nothing to stand on. So they begin to make up their own truth. I'm trying to be gentle. But we live in a culture that lives by relativism. Whatever I decide is true, is true. That's not our culture. Amen? God decides what's true. And then we align our households with it. Come on. If truth is your standard, your kids will have something to stand on. If truth isn't your standard, they're on shaky ground. Amen? So, Pastor Robert, what do? Put God first. Make truth your standard. I want to give you some practical. We're going to leave, but this is so good. What do I do? What action can I put? Here, real good. What's an area of your life that you want to improve? Come on, anybody have one area in your life you want to improve? What's an area of your life you want to improve? Get home today or tomorrow, write it down. What is your life like right now in that area that you want to improve? What are the habits that put you there? Whatever they are, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, you've got habits, I've got habits that put us in those areas that we want to improve. It didn't just happen, right? We make our habits and our habits make us, right? And then write down what you specifically want. It's like this now. I don't want that. I want this. I want this. When I was weighing 205 and I was unhealthy and I knew that was wrong and it wasn't going to lead me down a good path, I said, "Lord, help me. I want to be here." And I dropped about 35 pounds, changed my whole diet. I love food, by the way. but not more than God. Changed my whole life. Anything's possible with God. So where do you want to be? Once you determine that, here's the homework. What are the new habits that you're going to begin to put in place to replace those bad habits? Amen. Can you do that? Have you been blessed by the word? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Come on. You can use this. My wife has something to share just real quick.
So, yeah. How do I word this? As we learn God's truth, right? Coming to church, devotionals, reading our word, and we come across a truth that resonates with us, that is something that we want, that we are not experiencing. There's a level of reliance on self that has to diminish.
Right.
I don't know about you all, but I'm assuming that most of us, you know, when there's a challenge my way, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to take care of it. I've done it in the past. I'll do it again. And that's this self-reliance. And if anything, I've been learning in more recent years is God wants me to diminish that. Because in self, in relying on myself, I'm not trusting him. Yeah. And there's a little, you know, we kind of get shaky in the knees and it's a little scary. And that's how faith is. That's how faith is. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? And so, yeah, there's an element of that, of saying, I'm not going to rely on myself. And it's a little scary and it's unknown territory. And I am going to have faith based on God's truth. And I'm going to keep setting my mind, just like he spoke earlier, setting my mind on that truth. I don't care how many times I go wayward and how many times I want to think other and how many times I let the enemy get in me thinking other. No, I'm going to set my mind. And we have to do that. God's not going to do that for us. Amen.
Yes, thank you, honey. In January this year, I was in San Dimas, California. This 55-year-old man enrolled in a 2-year degree college program. And I was there for my first week of residency. Started on Monday. Thursday morning came, and I was ready to quit. I'm like, what did I get myself into? It was too much. I was overwhelmed. I thought I spent my money foolishly. There's no way I'm gonna be able to do this. And I got a text from Pastor Gil. And he had done exactly what I was doing. And he said, hey, Rob, I woke up praying for you this morning. It's about that point where last time I was there, I was thinking about quitting. I hope you're not there, but if you are, I want to remind you of something. And he gave me some of God's truth. Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, I realized I can do anything that God helps me to do. And I had to allow his truth to supersede the truth that I had in that moment. Friends, God is for you and he's with you. And if there's any habit in your household that needs to be broken and replaced with a godly habit, the power of the Holy Spirit will enable you to do it. And you can have households that are godly, that glorify the Lord, that point other people to Jesus, that win people into the family of God, that set people free, and that partner with Jesus in the advancement of his kingdom on the earth. Amen. Father, we love you today. I thank you for every heart that's represented here today, every child on the other side of the building. Father, we thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit, the ultimate teacher. He's so gentle. He's so gracious. God, we invite the Holy Spirit to leave this building with us and continually massaging these truths into our heart over the week, reminding us that there isn't anything too hard for us to do because you're with us, you're in us, and you're on us, and you live through us. Father, help us to establish godly households. Help us to be reminded that culture makes a difference. Help us to live with a kingdom culture mindset. I declare that over these people today. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Have a wonderful afternoon. Don't forget, this weekend isn't just about food, right? Take a moment. Remember our loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for more messages. If you like what you're hearing, share it with your friends. For more content from Lakeshore and information on services, check us out at lakeshorecf.com.